Good afternoon, and welcome to your own Health and Fitness Talk Show. I'm Health Integration Specialist Lena Berman, and I'm here live with you Tuesdays at 2 talking to you about healthcare and fitness and taking your calls. Well, today, since we're in the second of two very special Pledge Drive shows, the calls that we'll be taking instead of including you as a part of the show will be calls where we'll be asking you to join us as part of the KPFA support system. Along with programmers like me who come in and volunteer, we're asking you to become part of the station by calling us during this hour at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. And we have a couple of thank you gifts for people who do call during the hour. Now, I will be interviewing Colin Ingram, who is a scientific writer and researcher. He is author of the Drinking Water book, and we will be talking not only about drinking water safety, but we'll also go over how water is evaluated and tested, and we'll offer some personal options for protecting the safety of your drinking water. Now, what I'll do is, at the half hour, you know, I'll take a little musical break, and during that time, I'm going to ask you to call in, because as a thank you gift for joining us during this hour, you can get a copy of Colin Ingram's book, which is, I'm sorry to say, out of press. I mean, it's not being printed anymore. It's out of print. And Colin has been gracious enough to give us the last copies of his book to use as thank you gifts. So if you join at a $60 level during the show, we'll give you a copy of the Drinking Water book. And it's a beautiful book that was originally published by 10 Speed Press. And it includes all of the information about which type of filtration systems are available, what kind of bottled water is available. He did a 5-year research project. It's a very, very concise, very accessible book. He's a wonderful writer. You can also, for $60, also get a copy of this interview. If you find that hearing the show again gives you enough information, then that will serve you as well. Now, you can get both of them for $100, and that means that if you pledge at $100 as a thank you gift, we'll include both of the Drinking Water book by Colin Ingram and the tape. And again, this book is not available anymore on the bookshelf, so we're very grateful to him. Just briefly, a little editorial. Recently, someone asked me about rehydration while exercising in the heat. You know, there are several products on the market that claim to contain electrolytes. You know, it just sounds very scientific, electrolytes, you know. The best way to replenish yourself when you're sweating bullets, when you're working in the heat or you're exercising in the heat, the best place to get electrolytes is water. Now, I'm not saying that products like Gatorade, that they haven't done certain things to make the fluid rehydration work better for you. What they do is they add some salt, they maybe add a few minerals, and they add a little bit of sugar. Now, they add some things that aren't useful, which is colorings and chemicals. But to be honest, the main thing that you need is the water. A little bit of sugar, like if you substitute grape juice cut in half with water, if you're really, really out and you're expecting to be a crispy critter at the end of the day, you can use half and half juice and water, like if you're on a long bike ride or something, and you can add a little salt to that. That situation where you've got a little bit of natural fruit sugar will help speed the absorption in the gut of the liquid. But if there's too much sugar, then it will also dehydrate you. So that's my problem with these, you know, products. Some people do very well with them, and there are health food store versions of these products, too, where they don't use white sugar, where they use fruit juice. Remember also that tea, like iced tea, although it cools you down, is a diuretic, and that alcohol, a lot of people drink beer, and ironically, beer is very good for replacing electrolytes, but it's a diuretic, so as you know, you spill more than you absorb. So, and you also want to remember, if you're going to be in a hot situation and you're going to be outside for long periods of time, along with hydrating yourself, you also want to make sure that you're always taking a balance of minerals, because that will help you to avoid cramping, and you'll also be losing through your sweat and through urination and you know, all the rest of the stuff that happens when you're hot, a lot of the minerals that you need to prevent that kind of mineral imbalance that causes you to cramp, also getting the extra potassium that you're losing. So just remember in general that water is hunky-dory. If you're really in an extreme situation, like you're racing or you're on a long bike ride or you're doing a triathlon or something like that, half and half water and juice with a little bit of salt, added to it, and making sure that you're taking multi-minerals throughout the day and that you've taken them for the weeks before. And you should be fine. You should be okay. A little reminder before we head into our special pledge drive show about water quality, about safe drinking water. If people need to reach me during the week, you can call me directly at 707-769-1458. And in addition to that, if people need information about getting tapes of the show, you can also call that number. So let me get Colin Ingram on the line. Are you with us?
Right here.
Oh, good for you. Colin Ingram has 30 years' experience as a scientific writer, researcher, and technical publishing consultant to universities, corporations, and government agencies. From 1982 through 1987, he conducted a five-year research project on all aspects of drinking water, including health risk assessment and regional mapping according to water quality. Included a bottled water study, an evaluation of water testing laboratories in the U.S., and extensive water purification product evaluation and testing. And this is all in his book, The Drinking Water Book, A Complete Guide to Safe Drinking Water. Originally published by 10 Speed Press, it outlines the results of his research. Now, as I mentioned, Colin has been kind enough to supply KPFA with the last copies of his book to offer as a thank you gift to those of you who subscribe during this hour, and that'll be at the $60 level. So thanks again for making yourself available, Colin, and giving us the books.
My pleasure, Lena.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things that people get really confused about is this whole issue of if you live in a rural area, everything should be just fine. And I know that you were inspired to do this research project because, it says it right in the beginning of the book, because of what you discovered while living in a mountainous rural area of Appalachia where the water source should have been free from pollution. What did you discover?
Well, I discovered that the beautiful looking and tasting water bubbling out of the mountain spring near my house, in fact, had traces of toxic chemicals. And nobody knew where they had come from. Nobody could trace the path or anything, but they were there. And that's fairly typical, because water moves in strange ways underground, and we essentially don't know from one area to another what water will be coming from where.
How did you know that there were toxic chemicals in the water?
Oh, by testing it, by having laboratories tested.
And you did that just because you were curious, or was there some kind of incident occurring?
No, it began because I was living in this pristine area with no apparent possibility of pollution, and yet there were cancer clusters, mm-hmm. that is, groups of concentrations of rare types of cancers, which are due more to environmental causes, mm-hmm. than heredity. So I began looking into it and trying to find out what was causing that, and one of the things we did find were these toxic chemicals.
So, you know, you did this extensive study. How did you conduct it? What kind of method did you use?
Well, I just started going like you or anyone else might. I started calling my local water utility company and the county health department and so on, and I was not satisfied with the answers, and then from then I went on to universities, and then in Washington, D.C., the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And basically, I found that no one could put it all together. Some scientists were very, very good on a health risk assessment, that is, what types of pollutants cause what kinds of potential harm to the body. Water dealers and manufacturers might know a great deal about their particular kind of water purifier, but nothing about how it related to health assessment. And county health officials knew a lot about microorganisms, but not very much about other kinds of chemical pollutants that might be in water. So I found it very troubling, and I decided to bite the bullet and do it myself, which I proceeded to do.
Now, you became, I think, a little bit cynical about using the water utility as a protection because of what you discuss in the book about them dismissing tiny amounts of individual pollutants without studying the risks of them being combined or the synergistic or cumulative effect, and the whole issue of safety threshold.
Well, you bring up a good point, the synergistic effect. That is, if there are more than one kind of pollutant in water, is there a multiplier effect? And the truth is, we don't know, and nobody knows. The federal government, the state governments, no one knows, because no tests have ever been done on this. And the reason that I became cynical about water utility companies is because they're doing a very good job of what they know how to do. But unfortunately, what they focus on is a technology that was developed in the 1940s and 1950s. And that is to protect us from common bacteria and viruses and other microorganisms that are in water. But they have never had much expertise on learning about trace chemicals, toxic chemicals, that may be in water, in fact, which are in almost every water supply in the United States. So the technology of water treatment plants as they're operating now simply is not adequate to cover and protect us from all the pollutants that are in our water.
Well, in addition to that, when we get our little thing in the mail from the water utility, it's very daunting to try to read that. I mean, you look at it and you go, I have no idea what this means. You know, it's very hard to sort through it, you know, even if you're somewhat informed. So that's difficult as well. And another thing that's been happening that I think has made people more conscious of all of this is that there are now some health risks that weren't there before, and also we're discovering new things, like we more recently have discovered that just everybody has parasites, you know, and where are these parasites coming from? And some of the suspicions are that it's water source. And we have a population of people who are chronically ill. We have AIDS people. We have people with a variety of chronic illnesses that are very susceptible to certain bacteria in the water. And I mention this also because people are very confused about whether, you know, when you're out camping or if you buy bottled water, whether mountain spring water is clean water. So what say you?
Well, let's take the camping part first, because that's the easiest. Even if you're in an area where you have a beautiful flowing stream and the water is ice cold, there are still probably some type of parasites in that water, because they come from animal droppings and other things, other organic material that can get into the water and help create them. So the first rule of thumb is, if you're out in the wild, don't drink unprotected water. Either bring along your own water or take a portable filter that's specifically designed to remove any of these parasites from water.
Okay, so they're little travel filters that are designed for camping.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think it's important for everybody, you know, testing water can get a little expensive. Do you think it's always important for people to test their water, or do you think that there are certain situations where people should, like, for instance, if you're on city water, are there areas, I think you go over this in the book, are there areas of California that are safer than others, and should you automatically test your water even if you're in an area that's safe, or if you're living in the country and you think you've got well water, and gee, well water must be great, maybe not. So when should people test? What are probably the most important times for that?
I would say, in general, rarely.
Okay.
And let's take the class known as organic chemicals, toxic chemicals, or man-made chemicals that are byproducts of industrial and commercial processes. For example, some studies done in gas stations show that about 5% of all gas stations have leaks in their underground tanks. And that leaches sometimes into the water table and gets into our water supply. And that's a very toxic example of a man-made chemical. But there are approximately 80,000 man-made chemicals in commercial use in the United States today. And of those, we have tested for a small number. The rest, we don't really know if they're harmful or not. But we do know that many of them have found their way into our water supplies. And it would be very, very impractical to try to test for everything. Also, Lena, at different types of the year, you're going to get different test results.
Oh, boy.
So you would have to test on a regular basis, say every 2 to 3 months, and spend a fair amount of money doing that, and you still wouldn't be totally certain. So if you're in an area where some particular pollutant has been publicized as being in the water, then it's a good idea to test for that to see if it's in your water, and you can take specific action to correct that. But unless you're in that situation, I would not recommend to do water testing.
Am I right in feeling that well water should be filtered, that there's a problem with well water?
Well, there can be many problems with well water in this, and the larger question might be, is natural necessarily good? And the answer is no. For example, in well water, if any part of the water system is exposed to air, it may be polluted by airborne bacteria and viruses. Also, there may be toxic minerals that are naturally occurring, like cadmium or lead or mercury in the well water. So, all wells should be treated to some degree or other.
It also feels to me, reading your book, like it's really prudent for everybody to really filter or do something with their water. It's probably a good idea, even although I think the Bay Area is not the worst place for water. I think we have reasonable water, but I think from reading your book, my sense is that it's always a good idea to do something with your water other than drinking it straight from the tap. Do you agree?
Well, relatively speaking, let's give three cheers first for the city of San Francisco, which gets its water supply from what's called the Hetch Hetchy system. And that's water that's relatively pure water that comes down from the high Sierras. The other surrounding communities are not a part of that system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the water quality is not as good.
Okay, so what we ought to do is buy water from San Francisco in bottles and drink. Briefly, if people are just tuning by, KPFA is where we are. This is your own health and fitness with health integration specialist Lena Berman. And I'm doing a pledge drive show, which means that briefly, in about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to give you an opportunity to join us by pledging and getting a copy of the book we're talking about. I have Colin Ingram on the line, and he is author of the Drinking Water book, which we have secretly purchased all of his last copies, and he's actually he's donated most of them, and whatever else he has, we're grabbing. So we have the last copies of this book, and it is the most comprehensive book I've seen on water quality. It's very clear, and you can get it for a $60 pledge, and you can call 848-5732 in the 510 or 1-800-KPFA, and we'll give you an opportunity to do that shortly. But we are, in fact, talking about safe drinking water. The other thing is, you know, we're saying that some this business of natural, a lot of people will say, okay, well, look, you know what, I don't even want to deal with this. I'm just going to buy bottled water. And within the bottled water community, the interesting thing from reading your book is that there's a surprise there, too. You know, you always think Black Mountain Spring water or mountain spring water might be cleaner. And in fact, what you discovered was Alhambra, which is filtered tap water, was the best.
Well, I won't say that the one brand is necessarily better, but to put it into categories, water that has been treated through a sophisticated purification system is generally safer than natural spring water, because the spring water may contain elements that are harmful in the long run.
Right, and that's what we said before, that natural doesn't always mean safe.
That's right.
Okay.
So in terms of bottled water, I always recommend that consumers buy what's called drinking water. And that's what, it'll say drinking water on the label, and that means that it has been highly purified. Now, there's a sore point about bottled water, and many of the opponents of bottled water will say, well, it comes from the mm-hmm. same municipal tap water source as our water does. That's true, Lena, but it goes through a very sophisticated treatment process before it's bottled. That's the difference.
Well, the other thing that people get upset about is bottled water often comes in plastic, and there's some sense that all bottled water is going to be contaminated by the plastic. But there are different types of water, and there's different types of water, distilled water being the most vulnerable to that situation, and there's also different kinds of plastic.
Distilled water is most vulnerable to getting plastic leached from the bottles into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's true. In general, it's not good to bottle water in these soft plastic bottles. But having said that, if they've kept cool and they're not in those bottles for too terribly long, it's probably not a problem. I recommend that when people buy bottled water, that they keep it in a cool place, and as soon as they can, transfer it into the refrigerator or into a glass bottle.
What about when you get water delivered by Alhambra or any of these companies, different brands? They come in a hard plastic bottle. How about that?
Yes, that's a type of plastic called polycarbonate, and that's very, very chemically inert. And what that means is essentially nothing leaches from the bottle into the water. So those are quite good.
another thing about distilled water is people kind of think, well, gosh, if it's devoid of any nutrients and vitamins and minerals, is it okay to drink that, or will it leach things out of my body? But apparently not. Apparently it only leaches things out of your fridge if you leave it open.
Right.
If like potato tasting water. And
distilled water is in an unnatural state, and it tries to get back to a natural state, which is mineralized. So if you pour distilled water into a container where anything can interact in it, like, say, a soft plastic bottle that's warmed up by sunlight, then it will attempt to leach out as much as possible from the bottle into the water. But as soon as you drink distilled water, there are so many minerals within your system, within your gut, and so on, that it essentially becomes mineralized water.
Right, but it's not hurting you. It's not like a sponge leaching the vitamins out of your system.
No, not at all.
People get confused. All right, well, I can just tell that some people are listening and going, you know, this is all very expensive, you know, and also when I look at this book, there's all these really fancy filtering devices, and there's all these different methods, and gosh, you know, I don't have a lot of money, so what's a cheap way to make sure I've got clean drinking water? Is there anything I can do that doesn't cost money?
There are a few things you can do at home, like boiling water.
For how long?
For 5 minutes at a boil, which will kill any microorganisms in the water, including any parasites. It will also evaporate what are called volatile chemicals.
Like chlorine?
Yes, most of the chlorine out of the water. So just by boiling your water and then letting it sit in an open container for a few hours is very helpful.
Don't you have to put it back in the fridge pretty quick?
Put it back in the fridge as soon as you can. In general, with anything, if you have a portable water filter, keep it in the refrigerator.
Right, because the water filter is wet and it will brew little organisms.
That's right.
So
that's
if you're using a Brita, for instance, which may not be the ideal thing to use, if you must, you refrigerate the filter in between use.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the advantages of the inexpensive portable filters is that because you can keep them in the refrigerator, they don't grow bacteria like the other kind.
So Brita might be good if you keep it refrigerated.
Yes.
Aha! Oh, good. Another inexpensive thing. What might not be so good, maybe, is to use one of those tiny little ones that sit connected to your, you know, like an on-the-counter activated charcoal filter. These are the simple ones. You've also got osmosis filters and ultralight systems and distill. But what about, you know, people have been getting these tiny little carbon block filters that just, they're really just like the size of an orange and they fit on the faucet. That may not be so good because it's so little, huh?
Well, that's right. I always recommend against those. Firstly, because there's not enough contact time. Those have a little pouch of carbon, activated carbon, which absorbs toxic chemicals. But there isn't really enough contact time for that smaller filter for it to do much good. Also, because of its small size, it can get loaded up with toxic chemicals. And then when you suddenly turn on the tap and the pressure hits it, you can get a load of those chemicals into a glass of water. So in general, I do not recommend the small faucet filters.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a tabletop one that has a diverter thing on your faucet, but you want a bigger filter. And I think you also want to pull out the diverter and let the water run for a little bit before you drink
it. Anytime you're using a filter, let the water run for about a minute before you use it. And even more than that, up to 5 minutes if you've been away, say, for a week or so.
Now, we mentioned chlorine, and I've asked you this before, but I'd like other people to hear the answer to this, because I'm a swimmer, among other things, and I thought to myself, oh boy, you know, I always think to myself, I'm this, like, health nut, and then I go and swim in this chlorinated pool. And if you're suggesting that we filter our showers, then I'm thinking, what am I doing in this chlorinated pool? So what's the difference here? What's the difference between having it cold, you're just in the pool and the water's fairly cold, versus having a steam of chlorine that you're breathing?
Well, the shower filters are not meant to remove chlorine from the water. They're meant to remove other volatile toxic chemicals that may be in the water. Again, in the tests that are done on water supplies, there are trace amounts. Now, these are very tiny, maybe a few parts per million or less of some of these volatile toxic chemicals, but they are in the water supplies. And so the shower filters are designed to remove those, not the chlorine.
Well, what about chlorine?
Well, let's approach that in two ways. One, absorbing it in a swimming pool, and the other is ingesting it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one you don't have to worry about, because when you swim in a pool, your skin is not going to absorb much chlorine.
Even though what goes in your skin goes in your blood.
Because the chlorine absorption is very, very minimal
through the
because
skin.
Of the nature of the chlorine.
Good. I love that. I love it when you say that.
Yeah. The worst thing you worry about is it burning your eyes.
Yeah, I wear goggles, but I think most people wear goggles.
Now,
and you should wear a cap, too. Your hair gets fried, but
right.
Go ahead.
Now, the other part of that is drinking chlorinated water is a serious problem.
Yes.
Now, most of our health officials and our government agencies will deny this, but the research has shown pretty definitely over the last 7 or 8 years that long-term ingestion of chlorinated water is harmful to our health.
Mm-hmm.
That over periods of time, it has been related to a number of things, colon and bladder cancers, to liver diseases, to vascular problems, and a general lessening of the effectiveness of the immune system.
Yeah.
So this has been pretty much borne out, but no one wants to admit this because essentially 99% of all our water systems in the U.S. are chlorinated.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend to everyone who is drinking municipal tap water, which will be chlorinated, to do something about drinking your water. Get a good type of bottled water, get water from a vending machine, or get some type of device in your house to get rid of the chlorine.
You know, that's a good point to stop on for a moment. What I want to do is, when we come back, I do have one last question. What about ice cubes? Does freezing kill some of the bugs?
Yes, some of them, but not enough, no.
Oh, okay. When we come back, what I want to do is talk to you more about the different types of filtering systems that you discuss.
Okay.
But what I want to do now is just have you hang on, and I'm going to play a little music, and I'm going to give people an opportunity to call in to get copies of The Drinking Water Book by Colin Ingram. We will give it to you for a thank you gift for joining us today. I'm Health Integration Specialist Lena Berman. This is your own Health and Fitness on KPFA. I'm going to open up the phone lines at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732 for somewhere between 45 and 60 seconds to give you a chance to call in and join us. You will get a copy at $60 of The Drinking Water Book, which is out of print and is very concise and beautifully written. For another $60, if you just want a tape of today's show, you can get that. Or for $100, you can get both. So here's your chance as a thank you gift for joining us and helping KPFA stay on the air and to keep this show on the air. We're going to let you call now to get some of these thank you gifts. I'm Lena Berman. We'll be right back. See a whole lot of phone lines lighting up here, guys. This is your chance to get a copy of a book that's not in print anymore, and I can guarantee from personal experience this is quite a magnificent book on water quality and on filtering systems. If you join us now at a $60 level, if you join KPFA, if you call us now at 848-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA 439-5732, we'll give you a copy of Colin Ingram's book, The Drinking Water Book, and you will be able to decide on your own in an educated way which of these systems you want to use. And we are recommending that you filter your water. We are just saying, bottom line here, folks, You got to do something with your water. And you can figure out from his book exactly what suits you and how to do it, and you can evaluate all of this. It's very practical. You'll get a copy of this book as a thank you gift for $60. Again, it is not on the bookshelves anymore. Maybe we can cajole Colin to reissue this book, but it has been off the shelves for quite a while, and he's given us the last copies of the book as a gift to those of you who joined during this hour. You can also, for $60 by itself, just get a copy of today's interview, or for $100, you can get both the drinking water book and today's tape of the show. So please keep those phone lines jumping, 510-848-5732 and 1-800-439-5732. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integration specialist Lena Berman, and I am interviewing Colin Ingram, and we're talking about safe drinking water. So we said we would come back and talk a bit about these different filtering systems. We talked a lot about the carbon block here, and I think what we've said is that carbon block, unless you're refrigerating the carbon block, if it's a tabletop one or something, you may need to do something additional, like boil the water after you filter it, like for just drinking water. Is that what we're saying?
Well, Lena, there are millions and millions of filters in use today in the United States. And typically, if we were to go into a home and take it apart and saw it in half, you probably wouldn't like what you found.
I wouldn't like people doing that to my house, I don't think.
And that's because the inside of water filters are very good mediums, very good places to grow microorganisms. They're warm and wet, and they have stagnant water in them.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have something that water is constantly flowing, it is going to start to grow microorganisms. Now, some of the tests have been done on this, on the insides of these filters after used for a time, show a variety of microorganisms. We don't know if they're really harmful or not, because not enough tests have been done.
But can't you just filter your water from your tabletop filter and then boil it for 5 minutes and refrigerate it for your drinking water?
Yes, you certainly could do that.
Okay, but then there are these other filtering systems. Which of these other ones, like reverse osmosis and a distiller system? Just today somebody asked me about distilling. Couldn't he build his own distiller? Ultraviolet systems. Are any of these less likely to become contaminated?
Oh, yes. But let me say that you have to do a little bit of homework on deciding which kind of home purifier to use. If you're not willing to do a little bit of homework and check it out, then buy bottled water or use water from a vending machine.
Yeah. So which of these other ones that we have here, the osmosis and the distiller and the ultraviolet, which of those, are those all systems that won't breed bugs?
No. Reverse osmosis is a kind of filter, but instead of having a cylinder filled with activated carbon, which is this black granular looking stuff,
mm-hmm.
It's a flat membrane that's wound into a coil, and it has very tiny molecular size holes in it that allow pure water to pass through, and the chemicals and other impurities, and including minerals, are stopped and are flushed down the drain. Now, what happens with this is that after a period of time, a thing called a biofilm begins to form on the membrane.
God, you can't win.
That's microorganism growth.
Yeah.
So a similar thing can happen with reverse osmosis.
Okay, and then distilling it, you end up with distilled water again. You end up with the problem of producing water that has a kind of volatile quality. Well, no, I guess not, as long as you store it refrigerated in glass, huh?
If you store it properly, that's fine. A distiller is the ultimate purifier.
Okay.
It does, by far and away, the best job of purifying water, but it's also, it's more expensive, but now there are distillers available as low as about $300 starting, and they go all the way up to around $1,500.
What if someone's real handy? Could they build one themselves?
Yes, sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because
sure.
I think that's what this person had in mind, was building one. So just and then just to reassure people, what we said earlier in the show is that you won't be leaching minerals out of your body by drinking water that doesn't have minerals in it. You just have to take a multi-mineral, which you do anyway, because your drinking water doesn't supply enough minerals anyway. So
that's right.
Yeah, and then ultraviolet So that's where the sunlight is passing over it? How do you prevent that from making bugs?
Well, ultraviolet is a system that the water passes by intense ultraviolet light, which is bactericidal. That is, it kills bacteria and most organisms, microorganisms in water. It does not remove toxic chemicals.
No.
Does not remove lead or anything like that. Also, it does not kill most parasites in the water, because parasites are covered by a hard cyst, a covering that is not susceptible to that. So ultraviolet, as part of a comprehensive purification system, is very effective, but not by itself.
Part of what I'm hearing, too, is that if you're building a new house, it would be great to have a copy of this book, because some of these systems can be built into the whole water system, yes?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. What about fluoride, which unfortunately we're discovering, although it makes the bones appear to be harder initially, can make them very brittle later. So a lot of people don't want fluoridated water. Does the distilling and the carbon block filters get rid of the fluoride?
No, they do not.
No.
In fact, filters in general do not remove dissolved minerals from water.
That's too bad. What about, did we say distilling also?
Distilling does.
Does. Okay, so distilling, really, if there's any real health risk, you're better off with distilled water. It sounds
if you
like.
Really want to go for high purity water, distilling is the best.
And then we've got people living in the country who are have hard water, for instance, where there's too many minerals, and they're trying to soften water. You had a potassium alternative for water softening, I think, in the book.
Oh, yes. We kind of bypassed the fluoride issue, but let's go to the potassium.
I'm just all over the place with this.
Yes, for water softeners. Water softeners add salt to the water. And in place of these sacks of salt, which are sold in all the supermarkets and everywhere, you can find in a few markets and in many water dealers sacks of potassium as a replacement for that salt in your water softener. It's just as effective in softening the water, and it's much better for your health.
When people go to Europe and they travel, we talked about the camping filters.
Yes.
I'm guessing that these filters, obviously you have filters you can take with you to Mexico or wherever you go where the water's a little sort of uh-oh. But you're not going to be able to refrigerate this filter, so what happens then?
They don't need to be refrigerated.
They're not carbon block?
No.
Ah, okay. And then the other thing I'm noticing is that you're also suggesting that certain combinations of filtering systems might work well. Is that true?
Yes, indeed. For example, there are now filters, specialized filters, that will remove lead and any other toxic minerals from water. Where they weren't available until recently. So if you purchase a multi-stage filter, or even a single-stage filter that has a cartridge in it, that's a multi-stage cartridge that has the type of filtering media that can get rid of lead and all the other things at the same time, it's far superior to the older type filters that just had carbon.
But, you know, again, if people are starting to get tired listening to all this detail and they're thinking, oh, God, you can make a difference either just boiling the water or getting a Brita or getting a carbon block and either refrigerating the carbon block filter or boiling your drinking water after you filter it from a tabletop, just in case people are starting to get, you know, like, I don't...
Glassy-eyed.
Yeah, right, from all this info.
Yes, just one little correction.
Okay.
Most carbon filters are not carbon block filters.
Oh, okay.
They're just loose granular carbon, and the Brita and the other pitchers are just loose carbon. A carbon block is a tightly compressed carbon that goes into a bit of a larger filter.
Well,
it's more effective.
Yeah. Well, you're about to take all your brilliance and expertise to another part of California. I understand you're moving away from Monterey and moving to the country again.
Yes.
Are you going to put in an exotic water filtration system in your new place?
Well, I tell you, I have all kinds of equipment on hand, and sometimes I use it, and sometimes I just prefer to get my water from vending machines.
Yeah, I understand.
Because the vending machine water is of a quite high quality, and if you're going to do vending machine water, Do it in a machine that's used frequently, like in front of a supermarket, something like that. And the worst thing you can do with vending machine water is bring dirty bottles.
Yes.
Bottles are clean.
Yes.
And beyond that, I recommend that if you fill your bottles up, and then after that bottle is empty, let it dry out for a while completely.
So it doesn't get buggy.
So it doesn't get buggy.
Okay. Well, you know what? As always, you've been a tremendous help, and I know now more about water than I ever dreamed I could know about water. I just want to thank you again for making yourself available. I wish you a lot of luck on this new move, and
thank
I hope you
much.
Keep writing these incredible books. You have to let us know what when you get your next book done.
I will.
Okay. Colin Ingram, thank you so much again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Colin Ingram, who is the author of the Drinking Water book. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information or you want a CD copy of this or any other in the series, Your Own Health and Fitness, you can call my information number 24 hours a day at 707-874-2772. For a list of other available shows, information about guests, and news about the nonprofit and the benefits of membership, go to the website yourownhealthandfitness.org. Your Own Health and Fitness is a joint production of Your Own Health and Fitness and KPFA-FM. The engineer for Your Own Health and Fitness today is Mick Mylan. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom.